6:33 a.m., broadcasting live from our studios on Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, Clint Brewer, All-Star panelist in studio, want to talk to you about continuing on the Tennessee Supreme Court. And I think we have a flaw in our Constitution, but it is in our state Constitution. And but the flaw is it was first put in the second Constitution of 1835, in which the members of the Supreme Court would select the Attorney General and Reporter. You know, that's the job itself. The two aspects of the job, to be the Attorney General of the state of Tennessee, which is basically the lawyer for the state, who, among other things, is charged with defending the rights and privileges of the state itself and of the citizens against the overreaches of the and the usurpations of the national federal government. That, to me, is a very big deal. But the other element is to be a reporter. What does that mean? Well, to report the Supreme Court decisions. Now, it makes sense that the Supreme Court of Tennessee would be able to select its own reporter. It doesn't make any sense from a separation of powers perspective by the foundational principle of our national republic embodied in our national constitution that the judicial branch and the legislative branch and the executive branch should have separate roles and duties and responsibilities that have checks and balances against each other. But here in Tennessee, since 1835 and reconfirmed in the 1870 Constitution, which we are currently governed under, the Attorney General of the state of Tennessee is selected solely by the five members of the Supreme Court. Every other state officer, the governor is elected by the people. The lieutenant governor is traditionally the speaker of the state senate. And then other statewide offices, the secretary of state, but the controller, the treasurer, are elected by the Tennessee General Assembly. We have a very bad separation of powers problem here, because giving the judicial branch the executive role of picking the Attorney General, it would have James Madison, who had, I think, was, you know, in his last years when the first Constitution was passed in 1835, it would have him apoplectic about the violation of separation of powers. And yet that's what we have right now.
It's been a source of debate and discussion in the state for decades.
It has been. And so I'll tell you, I think the Supreme Court has the authority under the state constitution to do that selection however it pleases. Mm-hmm. And the
Tennessee General Assembly also has the authority to take it away from them. I mean, you can have a constitutional amendment out there to change it, which has been attempted before.
Well, yes, but not on its own. It has the authority to put the constitutional amendment would then be put before the people, right?
Well, yeah.
It's been attempted.
And let's be clear, Tennessee has several offices that are not elected, and we've talked about this before, unlike other states.
But my point is, on those offices, like the Secretary of State, there is accountability to the people because they're elected by the Tennessee General Assembly.
Right. In a public process.
In a public process.
There's a nominating process.
And you've got, and this gives the legislature power in that arena. And the Attorney General is essentially part of the executive branch. If you wanted to be consistent, that power should not reside solely within the Supreme Court. And yet it currently does. The efforts in 44 other states.
But it's kind of a collaboration between the executive and the judicial branch.
But let me just stop for a moment.
Yeah.
I understand.
And I'm not defending it.
I understand.
Technically, the governor puts forward the nominee.
No.
Okay.
No, that's been the practice, but that's not in the Constitution. The Constitution.
Right. I understand your point.
That's
where the state Supreme Court accepts nominees from.
Right.
Right.
The point is, though, that the Constitution itself simply says that the Supreme Court picks them, and sort of the wink, wink behind the scenes process has been whoever the governor wants has been, at least in 2014, in essence, gets rubber stamped by the Supreme Court. Mm. Now, that is not transparent, and there's no role whatsoever for the Tennessee General Assembly in that process. This, I think, is fundamentally wrong. And the Supreme Court has the authority, because the Constitution just says you get to pick. They can do it however they want. And they've been doing it, in my view, in the wrong way. And the wrong way has been, they've been very secretive about the process. They haven't been open about the process. Last time around, they didn't. Anybody can be nominated for this. Anybody can nominate themselves who's an attorney in the state. The Supreme Court then announced 8 finalists, and it held last time perfunctory hearings, like 10 minutes, where the 8 candidates were considered. But behind the scenes, basically, they rubber-stamped the governor's pick, Herb Slattery.
So you think they should open the process up?
It should be absolutely transparent, which it currently is not. We've been asking the Supreme Court for 2 months to tell us your process. Not a word from them about the process.
Wow.
Okay, that's number one. They should make it transparent. Who can apply? How do we narrow it down? Right? But most importantly, will this attorney general, what is the philosophy of this attorney general in defending the 10th Amendment rights of the state of Tennessee and of the citizens of Tennessee? There should be lengthy and robust hearings where multiple questions about that are posed to these candidates in public. That's my view of how it should be transparent. We've ended up in a situation where we have, and I'm in favor of a very aggressive attorney general pushing back at every opportunity against the usurpations of the federal government. Our current attorney general, Herb Slattery, was the governor's pick, rubber stamped by the Supreme Court, rubber stamped in perfunctory hearings, which is, I think, absolutely wrong.
But now let's also back up. I don't disagree with anything you've said about the lack of transparency, the need for transparency, having a more robust process for creating a pool of candidates. But I will say, and I will defend this till the day I die, they did get the process right because Herbert Slattery is an excellent attorney.
See, now we're going to disagree on that. I think he's an excellent attorney, but I think he's been largely a passive attorney general who has not appropriately defended the 10th Amendment rights of Tennessee. I'll give you 2 examples. Are you ready? Number one, remember back in 2015 when the Tennessee General Assembly passed a resolution telling the federal government, don't ship us refugees, because when you ship us refugees, we are stuck paying for them. You're not. And that's a violation of our rights and privileges. The governor then, Haslam, wouldn't sign on to that, nor would the attorney general, because the attorney general there did not consider himself having any duty to the General Assembly, which I believe he should, in my view. So that was number one mistake. Number two mistake, General Slattery has absolutely not sued the federal government, as he should have, in my view, over these ridiculous COVID-19 mandates that is now ending in the dismissal of at least 400 members of the Tennessee National Guard from the National Guard because they won't take the stupid COVID-19 vaccine, which they have good reason not to. And so I think those are 2 examples, but there are many other examples of a timidity of the Attorney General in defending the rights, the 10th Amendment rights of Tennesseans. And I think that ought to be out in the open. And those questions about what that philosophy is should be asked of these potential candidates.
1 minute.
No, I agree with you there on the process. I don't know the nuances or the particulars of why General Slattery didn't agree to get involved in those cases. I will say, as somebody who's worked with him directly, if he didn't, there was, in his mind, a sound legal reason not to.
Well, back to the issue of checks and balances. The reason it was only in his mind is because he doesn't think he's got any accountability to the Tennessee General Assembly, in my view, right?
Well, but if he were elected, he wouldn't either.
But did I say that that I'm suggesting that the Constitution should be amended for direct election?
No, I'm saying that.
I know. I'm saying that.
And I didn't used to believe that, but
yeah.
I do now.
Well, that's one possibility. The other possibility, I don't think that'll ever happen politically here in Tennessee.
Oh, I don't either.
Okay, so what's realistic?
But we're talking principle, Mike.
We are. But here's what I think, and the message to the members of the Tennessee Supreme Court. Make this process transparent. Let every candidate answer those key questions about how they will serve as Attorney General for an 8-year term.
And make them all come on this show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, we want them on the show. But the other thing, too, is I think that if they don't do that, I think the Tennessee General Assembly would have very good reason to introduce an amendment to the Constitution requiring that the Supreme Court's appointment be confirmed by the Tennessee General Assembly.
Or at least putting one out there that dictates the process.
Yeah, I think confirmation might be the way to go by the Tennessee General Assembly. Get him back in the game.
That'd be fun.
We'll have more when we get back. This is the Tennessee Star Report. He's Clint Brewer.